Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Anticipating a great night of football, so let the games begin. Shamrock Rovers are about to kick off in front of a full house at Tallaght Stadium in the hope they'll be celebrating that five in a row at full time. Here, Damien Duff's Chargers are hoping to bring back the good times for Shelburne FC.
But as questions were being asked of all the title chasers down the stretch, Shelburne dug deep, and now on their return to Foyle side, could it end in their most glorious night in almost two decades? Ball to find Barrett, touch around the corner for Boyd, here goes Liam Burt, goal side of Wilson, Burt is in, but he pulls the chance across goal and wide.
What a huge opportunity.
Cross to Martin, the knockdown, Ali Coote arriving, Ali Coote goes down, Damien Duff is racing down the touchline, appealing for a penalty.
Oh, that's a penalty, it does catch him on the leg.
Shamrock Rovers to lose as it stands, the way tonight has gone. Not done yet, not by any stretch. Oh, is that handball right on the edge? It is. Jacob Davenport, very appealing. It was, well, right there in front of him. Nothing he could do from that range. It's just coming down below. Here is Sean Boyd. Into the wall, deflected. Mark saves it in! Shelburne find the goal! Harry Wood, the jersey's off. 6 minutes to go. A massive breakthrough goal. A very late breakthrough goal for Shelburne. And this side that never says die, this side with an outstanding record when striking first, has found the moment. Harry Wood returned in the summer. That's his first goal since his return. It could be a goal that puts him into Shelburne folklore.
Hello and welcome to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. As always, we are brought to you by Go Loud. Go Loud is the home of Irish podcasting. And Go Loud is the home of your League of Ireland champions. Speaking of League of Ireland champions, we have a very, very special guest this week, Mr. Harry Wood. Hello, Harry.
Hello, Steve. How are we?
I'm good. Thanks for being here. How has your week been?
Yeah, it's been good. It's been a normal week. Trained today with the lads. Monday session. It was nice. But yeah, it's been good.
I'm also joined by, as always, Ben Cleary. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Doody. I didn't think I was going to get an intro there. Usually I'm second. I've just been replaced now because someone's better.
Now, a wise man told me that you always introduce the guest first. That wise man is sitting to my right. Hello, Darren Cleary.
Hello, Stephen Doody, Harry Wood and Ben Cleary.
Yeah. This feels a little bit like a job interview. I'm just slightly at...
Some back four, let me tell you.
sake. Oh, God. Harry, always I like to get to know... the player first. I think most of the supporters do like to get to know you as well. So you happy to answer a couple of little icebreakers before we get going?
Yep, definitely.
It's nothing too strenuous, don't worry. That stuff comes at the end.
So. Oh, God, Darren.
It's off.
Leave it out, Darren.
Oh, we started already.
Right.
Off the rails.
Dirty boy, Darren.
Harry Wood, what is your favourite sport outside of football?
Oh, golf. Have to be golf.
What series are you currently watching?
This is a mad one because I hadn't started a new series, but recently before I come out I was watching Benidorm which I know, like, it's not the best series, but for me I love it.
There's nothing wrong with Benidorm. Harry, let me just clarify that.
The series or the place?
Both.
Is Benidorm where
what?
Never mind.
Yes. Yeah, that's certainly
Madge.
Painter.
Huh?
So when Madge is on the scooter.
Yeah, Madge on the scooter.
Yeah, and there is a piece of entertainment that's fairly famous over there as
well. Okay.
Yeah, we won't go into that now. Harry, what's your favourite holiday destination?
Benidorm.
probably Florida.
What's the best part of a fry-up?
Oh, God, that's a tough one. Fried bread.
Fried bread. You're the second person that's come on here and said the bread is the best part. You know who the other person was?
Who?
The manager.
Fried bread is the best. Like, you get the bog standard bacon, you get bog standard sausage every day, but you never actually go to like a shop and get fried bread. It's like one of them things that you have every so often that's just, oh,
He sold it well there. He actually sold it really well.
So soda bread, it's not white bread. It's like brown.
No, it's just white bread, but like obviously deep fat. It's not good for you. I'm just going to put this out there. I don't have this often. Okay? Whoever's listening.
Maro Fiora's taking notes. Maro,
I do not eat fried bread often, okay?
Just fucking hell, Harry. Fried bread.
Have you never heard of fried bread?
No, I like it. I've never heard of white bread fried. I've heard like soda bread fried. Like crispy. Brown bread.
I just have any bread. I don't have anything.
Carbs. Harry, do you have any tattoos?
Nope.
None at all?
Nah, none at all.
Are you going to get a tattoo?
Oh, it's one of them things that I've thought about before, but then I've just... I don't really like needles. I've thought of like someone imprinting something onto my body and then afterwards looking at it and going, I don't like that. So
I know that feeling well, actually.
Do you want to show your tattoo?
Show them now.
Yeah.
Has Harry seen your tattoo?
This is riveting podcasting here.
Not
particularly visual.
We can stick a photo in, can't we?
That's what a load of beer and Benidorm does to you.
That's nice. Steve just pulled up his trouser leg and showed the Shelburne badge on his left calf. And it was lovely.
Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
What's your coffee order?
A mocha.
That's nice. Yeah, I can get on board with that. That's
okay. Don't drink tea or coffee.
It's acceptable. Pub or nightclub?
Ooh, pub.
What's your drink of choice in the pub?
This is another one. It's just mad. But I don't. Gin, Tanqueray Seville gin and lemonade.
Say that again.
Tanqueray Seville gin and lemonade.
How do you develop a taste for Tanqueray Seville gin?
Tanqueray's a make a gin. Have you never heard of Tanqueray gin?
No.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Did you say Seville gin?
Yeah, it's Tanqueray, like orange. Seville's orange, isn't it?
Never heard of that.
No. Oh, it's unbelievable.
It's a bit bougie now.
I can't drink beer. As we saw on the after the European night, it's pretty hammered in Bray.
Who do you look up to in life?
Oh, like sportsman or anyone?
Anyone at all. Who came into your head when they asked you?
There's two. Obviously, your parents. I look up to my parents, but I don't want to single one out. So I've got my mum and my dad.
That's fair. What's been your worst Shelburne moment so far?
Oh, quarter final in Derry, I think. FAI Cup.
I probably shouldn't have to ask this question, but what's been your favourite Shells moment so far?
Probably the last game of the season at Derry. It was memorable.
If you answered anything else there, you were wrong.
Just yep.
Put it out there.
I know.
Do you have any superstitions?
Nah, not really. If I play well with like certain boots, like I've kept wearing my black boots that I scored at Derry. Just because I think they're lucky boots, but I scored every game in pre-season in them boots as well, so I just kept them.
That's fair. Right, the ice is broken, so we usually jump straight into this. Why football? How did you get into it? Who got you into it? And what's your kind of earliest memory playing?
I started at Garforth, a club called Garforth Villa back in Leeds. When I was about, and I'll tell a lie actually, my grandparents and my mum and dad took me to a place that was called Soccer Tots, and when I was two, I started playing football there. Then I went to Garforth Villa, and that's when obviously I started getting scouted about 5, 6 with different clubs. And then when I was about 7 and 8, I was playing for Kippax Athletic at the time, and I was trialling out, I was at Leeds. But I was going to Manchester United, City on a different day. I went to Liverpool in Bradford. So I was trying all of the different ones out for when I turned 9. And then it got to the age of 9 when I was at Leeds and I had to choose who I wanted to sign for. And I chose to sign for Manchester United. I was there until I was 16.
Why United?
I don't know. I can't really remember. My mum and dad's asked me this question before. It was more to do with, I think, just the, when I was younger, Man United were the top dogs, the team that, like Man City and Liverpool of this era, They were the team that was winning everything. And obviously, Ronaldo was there. And I don't know, I just thought, I think my mum and dad also thought the, this is not a good way of thinking, but the higher you go, if you don't succeed, then the fall down's a lot easier.
Were you thinking that way even as a kid?
My mum and dad obviously thought that way. I wasn't. I just picked Man United because I liked Man United at the time. But looking back logically, you're better off starting at the highest level you can be, and then if whatever happens, you can just...
Yeah, never really thought of it that way. Mm. I think most people think go somewhere you have a better chance of playing or breaking through, but it makes perfect sense. When you move to Man United, is that every day? Like, are you in... like your schooling and stuff, did you just go to school as normal and like train in the evenings, or what way did that work?
So I started off when I was 9. I used to train at a place called The Cliff, and
I used, that was the old training ground, wasn't it?
Yeah. We used to train Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then on a Saturday we do like a tournament where split into teams, and it's like you all wear different international jerseys, so it's like a World Cup every Saturday. And then as you get older to about 12, 13, it's when like you start doing day release. So like I've started school in Kippax, but like the school would let me go at 12 or 11, and I'd get picked up in like a car, and they'd take me over to Manchester to train.
So you signed up for like a certain amount of time, or is it year on year? So like you get 1 year and then they kind of review at the end of the year to see if they keep you on?
It's weird actually. It's quite a brutal way, but it was like, so I think it was year to year from under nines to about under 12s. And then after that it was two, like every 2 years you get a, so it was 12 to 14s, 14s to 16s. But it was brutal from 9 to 12s because you just get a brown envelope through your door. Like there's no meeting, so it just says returned or released. So like when your mum and dad get the thing through the door and you sat at the table, I remember just, you never know, do you? So it's one of them things, like you see the R on the sheet and you don't know which one it is, but luckily I was there for quite a while.
Harry, you said there, you know, when you're in school you'd have chances to leave and you'd go early to play matches. What was it like just even as a kid? Do you remember much of how it felt just to be like, yeah, Harry, you need to go play for Man United now?
Yeah, it was, I think it was surreal. I didn't really, it's one of them things when you look back and you take it for granted, like the facilities that you get and the places you travel. Like my granddad always says to me, like whatever happened, like I know it didn't work out at Manchester United and everything worked out for a reason, but I got to see like so many countries. Like I went on tour to Italy, Poland, Hungary, Spain, all over the world really with them. So yeah, it's one of them things, it's, when I look back, it's pretty mental really what we was doing at that age, the age that I was at. But yeah, it was mad.
So when you hit, I think was it 16, you moved off from Man United, did that, how does that go down? Is that you're called into a meeting and you're told, look, we don't have anything else for you, or did you make the choice to move off?
So when I was about 15, I got injured and I was out for a while, I think about a year. And I just coming back from injury and stuff, and obviously my confidence was a bit like struck with putting my weight on it. So it was getting back to running like with the same percentage of weight in both feet. So then I think my mum and dad, it was coming to around the time, and I can't remember what they've said, but I think I remember my mum and dad saying, what did they say? Oh, it was, we're not sure what he's going to be like when he comes back from injury, so we might give him like a 6 week thing. And I knew really that to make it at Manchester United, you've got to be, I always believed in myself and I believed I could do it, but realistically, like, you've got to have a bit of luck and also you've got to be, I was like top level. So I think my dad just said, like, do you want to go and try other places out? But I was fortunate because it was the last week of training before the off season, and Hull got in touch, and I went down there and I trained once, and then I got a call on the way back saying they'd offer me a 1 year with a 2 year scholar. So I just signed it. I liked it. I was there ever since.
Was there, you know, it's such a ruthless game. It's so brutal and so few players actually make it from nine to first team. Was there anyone in or around the team you would have played with that broke through at United?
Yeah. Ted and Mengi I played with. Anthony Langer was at Notts Forest. Obviously, there's Mason Greenwood who's at Marseille. Played with him. Who else? Obviously, like, we was integrated into groups. So, like, it was 15s and 16s. So, like, you sort of... I played with the likes like Jimmy Garner, James Garner, and Angel Gomez played down a bit. Brandon Williams. There's quite a few like that have come on to do well.
Did you know, like, being around them, are they always earmarked for the top of the professional game? Or can you tell at that age, like, is there something that you would have seen in them that you would have thought, yeah, they'll go pretty far?
No, not really. I think you could see with certain individuals, like... could always see with Mason and Mason Greenwood that he was like top level. Probably same with James Garner. He's like he's the way he just plays football. You can sort of tell. But like Man United used to get be able to used to call it they used to call it a scholar, an early scholar. So once you get sent to this school, which is called Ashton on Mersey, yeah, it's when you've been given a scholar. So like all the lads that probably got one of them early, they thought that they was going to go on to do big things, which most of them was in and around.
So they always kind of have an idea?
Yeah, they always have an idea, I think. They always try and push the ones more who they think are going to do it, which was like the Anthony Langers and Teddins and Mason Greenwoods. But it went to the point of where you could look at him on the pitch and go, Jesus, he's so much better than him. I think it was just you could just see glimpses of what he did in a football game, like certain instances where you just go, like, that's ridiculous.
When did you start to feel pressure? Or did you? Like, at what stage does it go from you started this at two with the little tots and then you're fighting for that retained letter or that release letter?
I think it was when probably went to Hull and you're in a scholar and then you know you're fighting for that professional contract and you're putting everything into it, and I've put everything to it since I was a kid, so obviously I pushed education to the side. I tried my best to do as well as I could in them, but it was obviously to the side because I had full focus on football, so I knew like if I didn't get that contract, that next stepping stone, then it's one of them, like, where do you go? What do you do? You've pushed that to the side for so long that you're just back to square one, so you just set back. So that's probably when I started feeling pressure, if you could say so.
Harry, what was that environment like? Where, like, that elite environment where it's everyone's competing for the same spot? Is there, like, you'd look at your teammates and they're ultimately going for one spot? What's that like?
It's a tough environment because it can get quite competitive, and obviously you might be friends or close friends with one of the people in your position, but I think your friendship has to be put aside at certain points because it's your career is your career. Like, you can be friends all you want, but it comes to a point where you have to lock in, and to get to the next level, you might have to put that to the side to get there, because if not, the chances are then he's going to go there and you're going to be stuck at this same spot. So I think it is tough. It can get heated, but... you get used to it after a while. Like, obviously, it's a team game, and you've got, when you go and play out on a football pitch, you've got 10 other players that need to be performing. But if you look at it from a footballer's perspective, then no one else comes with you when you go anywhere else. I've not had anyone come with me from Man U. It's just been myself. So I always say it's a team game, but also I look at it as a self-employed thing. That is myself, like, I'm working and training to get myself better, doing clips or gym to get myself better. So, yeah, it's tough.
What were the biggest differences between Hull and Man United in terms like facilities and stuff like that? Is there that much difference at that level?
Yeah, I think there is, to be fair. I noticed it quite a lot when I went from Man U. I probably took it for granted to how many facilities we had and stuff. Like, when I look back, I probably didn't use as many facilities that Man United had as what I probably should have done. But you could tell when you went to Hull the difference in facilities and stuff. Not maybe not coaching. Coaching's pretty similar. I feel like coaches can be good anywhere you go. They're all the same knowledge, but I think the facilities were definitely, you could see the difference.
Ultimately, moving to Hull was, you'd have to say it was the right decision in the end. You made your first team debut. What do you remember of that?
I just remember it was a weird season because I was playing 23s and I was having a bit of a rocky patch where I wasn't playing so great this start of the season. I was young. It's probably a bit naive, a bit immature. Just not taking it quite as serious as probably what I should have been. But and then luckily we played 3 games in a week and some of the first team lads came down and played, which the gaffer, the Hull at the time, and his staff took the game. So they the manager on the sidelines, and I played midfield and I played really well. And I remember going off afterwards and the gaffer saying to me, "Oh, you're training with us next week." And then from then I was just in and like travelling with a squad and throughout the season. And obviously it came to travel down to Lincoln where they got pronounced champions. And I knew then that I had a really good chance of making my debut. And probably the best game you could have done as well, because we lifted the trophy and got a medal and stuff. And then I remember just warming up and the gaffer calling me down at 70th minute saying, "You're coming on." I was buzzing.
Do you feel like you've made it at that stage?
I think you feel like you've achieved something that you've, like, no one can ever take it away from me that I've made that debut. But I won't say I felt like I made it. I feel like I'd accomplished something that I'd wanted to accomplish for a long time. But I knew there's still a lot of, that's only one game, is I want to play many, many more.
Just earlier there you said maybe you didn't take it as seriously as you should have. Mm. How, what kind of, what did you mean by that?
I just think, like, probably knowing when to be serious and knowing when not to be serious, or like just being acting stupid or being stupid and pulling faces, you know what I mean? It's like I still do it now. I still have like a prank or a bit of a laugh, but I know the right time or when to do it, or it was just one of them things. Nothing to be really that major, but just the things like pranking and or annoying people, it's just doing it the wrong times.
What's the best prank you've ever pulled?
Oh God.
I can think of one.
Prank. Let's have a think here.
If it got you in trouble, it's even
funnier. Hold back. There's something there, and you don't know whether you should say it or not.
Prank here.
There's one he did fairly recently out of about 10 minutes of footage of Cameron Edwards looking for his shoes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, hit his shoes, didn't I?
They went to, oh, and
yeah, I can't remember that. You got the video? Yeah. Hiding his shoes. Yeah, he wasn't very happy, you know, Cam. Bit of a hothead. Didn't go down well. I think I bought a fish when I was in Scholar. Or two fish, and put one in the boot of his car, and then one underneath the, do you know where the tyre is? So like when he found the fish in his boot, he thought it was gone, but then like months later, it was just like a fish cremating under his tyre. But this fish had just like,
who did you do that to?
Did it to a kid in Scholar. They think you played a prank on me. I went to Asda,
bought two fish.
Yeah.
I'd say they looked at you like the weirdest kid. Kid comes in, I was like, two fish, please.
Look, so he grabs a fish, obviously. Like, I'm going to his boot and go, "Oh, that's what it is, a fish." Then he'll be driving like for the next few weeks and he'll be like, "Jesus, this fish ain't going, is it?" Not realising there's one cremating under his tyre.
That's, I love the fact that everyone thinks footballers are so serious all the time, and you know, you live this certain way and then you're out doing stuff like that.
I mean, you need a healthy balance, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. You can't take it too serious.
Team morale.
Yeah.
He's, I don't know if it's team morale. I don't. I think some lads care.
I think he's boosting team morale.
You do spend a lot of time trying to wind Cam up in particular, I've noticed.
Yeah, Cam's funny, and he? Cam's just... Cam, I don't know with Cam. He's just... I love winding him up.
Is he the easiest to wind up?
Yeah.
Ben, that's 100%. A teammate's question. That's as Doody would say, later.
We'll get all that. Don't worry. That's when the good stuff starts. Why? Like, when did all this start with Cam? Because everyone says the same thing. Everyone says, oh, Cam, it's easy to get at. He's easy to get at. When did you... Do you remember the first time you got to him?
I remember just being with Evan when I first come over, and you could just hear Cam, or like, just in training, like, you'll wind him up, you go, Cam, come on. Jesus, just tidy up. He'll go, hurry, shut up, hurry. And then I just realised that this kid really just nibbles at everything. So I remember me and Evan just pounced on it, just winding him up about having a bus card and stuff. Proper winds him up.
Having a what?
A leap card. the most used leap card.
We did the FIFA shoot with Harry, and all of the outtakes were them being like, who has the most amount of money on their leap card? And like, oh, Cameron Ledwidge.
Because he used to say he got the bus in after training. Like, the lads would just start laughing. And you can know that just when they start laughing, and Cam's just stood there.
Poor Cam.
Nah, but he's a legend as well, though. I do love Cam. He's a good guy. But I just nibble so much.
So don't react as how you get away with being tortured.
Yeah, I just think if he didn't give people a reaction to what they say, like, it could be the most stupidest thing ever. Like, oh, Cam, saw you in a chicken fillet roll at Circle K. And he'd be like, no, you didn't, Harry. Show me. Like that. If you just didn't say that, then no one would wind you up. It's one of them things in school. Do you know, like, when you come home and you're like, oh, Mum. Oh, this kid's saying something to me. And when your mum's like, when my mum said it, she's like, oh, Jared, just laugh it off. Like, if you don't give me a reaction, he won't do it again. One of them sort of ones with Cam.
And has no one had this conversation with Cam now?
Multiple people.
Yeah, but some day he's just going to snap and kill yourself.
Yeah, well, we had that thing, didn't we? I do him in a fight anyway, so he can come whenever he wants.
Yeah, Harry, you said your favourite sport outside football was golf. What about your VR boxing?
Oh... Jesus, I didn't know that was coming up. VR boxing, yeah. So I got a VR, didn't I?
It's a virtual reality headset. For anyone who doesn't know,
yeah,
what it is, that's what it is.
Got it for golf, but me and Evan found that you can do boxing rounds of boxing, like virtual reality boxing. So I'm like in the kitchen, and I'm boxing, but so sweaty. I'm dripping with sweat. Like, I'm punching.
Like, you want to be careful here. Like, that sounds like something you could get injured doing.
Yeah, well, you can only do probably like one fight because you're just dripping. I remember me and Evan was getting into it, but you can only do one because you're dripping with sweat. But the golf, the golf's lethal.
Can you not just go out and play golf?
I could, yeah, but I remember last year I was going out and the gaffer weren't happy with me because obviously it was a crucial time and I do understand where he was coming from. So I bought this just to see what it was like, but it's quite accurate.
It keeps you out of trouble.
Yeah.
Harry, loan moves in England. You went out, was it Scunthorpe you went to first? It always seems to be the natural thing. Lad comes up as a young player, he starts to be around the first team, and then it's right, send him out on loan, see how he gets on. What are those loan spells like? Because it always seems to be players end up going to pretty grim places, and like, it's always down a couple of divisions. What was your first loan spell like?
Oh, Scunthorpe. It was a bit of a mixed emotions. Obviously, I was buzzing because I got the chance to play league football at such a young age. I was like 18 at the time. But I just think it wasn't the right fit for me. Like, I'd come through the Manchester, being taught to pass and play out from the back, and Hull was sort of the same. We're in around the first team, like, passing, and obviously you have some time where you have to kick the ball long sometimes, but I was getting chucked into an environment where every game is just like above my head. It's not on the floor. It's like I'm going in as a young lad and I'm being asked to mark these experienced players and win battles and second balls. And I just think I was too young at the time, or it just wasn't the right fit. It was a bit of a, it was a one where I look back and it was a good experience to have. Won't change it, but looking back, it probably won't be the best fit.
I wonder why they still do it. You'd think, like, in this day and age, would they not be better served, like, sending you somewhere, like, to Europe or something like that, where there might be a bit more football played rather than...
Similar style of play, though. Like,
yeah.
Like, they're developing it with one style of play, they send you out and you're doing something completely different. So how can they judge your development based on that?
I know, it was... I look back, I don't think you couldn't... I can't really look back and say there was any football where I look and I'm like, oh, I'm happy with that. Because I wasn't really happy at the time when I was playing football there. But I look back at the other things that I learned, because obviously we were struggling at the time. So you're in and around an environment where you're learning aspects of, obviously you need to stick together. And when times are hard, like, every lad has to be together. If not, then you're gonna sing. So it was one of them. I took other things from it outside of football, but football in general, I didn't learn much.
So it's probably more about mental maturity as opposed to maturing your
skills. Just in and around a football and adult football environment, because it was a stressful time. We had two managers struggling, fans were boycotting the games, and it was not very nice, to be honest.
So was that a real thing? Sometimes it sounds a bit like a soundbite where, like, they're going off to play men's football instead of, like, under 23s and stuff like that. Is there that much of a huge difference between playing an under 23s game and then going down to a Scunthorpe? Like, for you, is it a different preparation for you? Do you have to kind of prepare differently, or is it, do you just go out and try and do your same thing all the time?
Yeah, it's a massive difference, because I think the speed of the game compared to 23 is a lot quicker, even at League Two. Even though the football's probably not as good, the speed's just so much quicker. And obviously playing with grown men, like, 30, you play against 35 year olds and you're only 18, it's one of them, you've got to learn quick, because they know every trick in the book. So I don't know, it was a tough time, because I wasn't even in the squad sometimes. So I was looking back, it was one of them, I'd how to deal with setbacks. I remember not being in the squad for like 6 weeks, and I didn't even drive at the time either, so my mum was having to take me to the games, and it didn't just affect me, like, it was affecting my mum, because she was having to travel and sit and watch a game where her son's not even on the pitch. It was one nice.
When did you first, do you remember the first mention of a loan move to Shells?
Yeah, I was actually driving a car, and Liam Messina rang me up and said, oh, we want you to go to Shelburne. Because obviously we were trying to get Europe at the time, weren't you? So they're going to send, obviously Fiske signed permanently, didn't he? But I'm going on loan. And he said, oh, it's a good opportunity. And I tried League Two, and I wasn't a big fan, so I thought I'd try it. So then I come over, and I spoke to the gaffer, actually. Spoke to Damien Gaffer in my living room, and he was just telling me what to expect and stuff. And then I flew over and trained the next day.
What were your first impressions? Just of everything, facilities, the lads. Just tell us about that first day.
I thought the lads were great. I thought it was an easy environment to come into, because I felt it was all so welcoming, even the staff and the gaffer. I remember we played UCD, didn't we? And we won 4-1.
That was 4-0.
My first 4-0, game. Yeah. 4-0, yeah.
You came JJ's, off the bench?
Yeah, and JJ scored a
outrageous
word. Yeah. And I,
smooth operator.
Yep. It was a great goal, left foot. And I remember the gaffer had me in doing, like, one-to-ones afterwards, and I just knew there's not many gaffers in football who will take time out the Saturday morning, especially with what Joey and Davey, the gaffer, and his staff have all been around in football, obviously playing the Premier League and stuff, so to take time out of their own livelihoods to come and do one-to-ones with me. I knew I was in for a good thing.
What was your second impressions? I think you, that UCD game, maybe you come in, you think, Jesus, League of Ireland's easy, they're cruising here. You play against Bowes off the bench, and looks like that game is almost passing you by at a million miles an hour.
Yeah, obviously I went up to speed. Obviously, I didn't disrespect League, because I'd never watched it, so I couldn't really, I wasn't like one of them people who were like, oh, League of Ireland this, League of Ireland that. I'd never watched the league, so I waited to play a few games before I made my judgment, but I knew straight away that it was a competitive league, and the standard was a lot better than what people speak about it, even to now. Because, like you say, we played Bowes at home, and I wasn't quite with it, but then we played, who did we play after that? Was it Cork?
Cork, yeah.
Yeah, and I scored, and then it went from there, didn't it?
Scored against Dundalk. Was the Bowes game a bit of an eye-opener to maybe, you know, geez, this is proper stuff. This isn't Scunthorpe, this is Dublin.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I knew that coming up. Like when I was coming over, that because I had a lot of people. When I look back, like there was Hull watching. Obviously, I want to impress the gaffer and his staff because it's such a big name. Like Damien Duff, like didn't want to be off the mark and stuff. So it was one of them. Like I knew I had to get up to fitness and stuff quickly. It was like last year when I was playing. Obviously knew I want at the level of myself that I could perform at, but I always knew that I hadn't had a pre-season and I didn't play at Grimsby, so it was never going to be at the level of what people... I knew I just had to come in and try and contribute to whatever I was possible doing, which I thought I tried to, but I knew it were never going to be the same.
Some people probably made very kind of snap judgments after that Bowes game because it did look like it was, you know, a big level jump. Mm. I remember speaking to Jack Moylan afterwards and he was like, no, Parry's got real quality here. You'll see it if you give him time. Did you feel that pressure coming in from Hull, the link up with Hull, being sent to help get a team to Europe? Was that a lot to put on a young fella's shoulders?
Yeah, because I always knew that there'd be people judging, saying, oh, we're not going to be a feeder club for Hull, or we're just sending players like this over, blah, 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 blah. So I always knew it was going to be one of them that I have to just prove a lot of people wrong, which I thought was a bit of a motivation. But yeah, I knew when I come in there was always going to be people who thought that, but I sort of put that back to the back of my mind in the end and got on with my job.
Silence the doubters.
Yeah, tried to do my best I could. That's all you can do.
From the time you signed, we lost one game out of 14 that you weren't involved in. Did you think you'd have that much impact?
No, not really. It's probably my best season, probably up to date in football, I'd probably say. It was the most enjoyable season as well, because obviously we got some good results and Tolka was bouncing. I remember scored late against Shamrock at home, corner, Gav Malloy.
1-1, yeah.
And then
last kick of the game,
Paddy scored an outrageous header.
Yeah, I think you took the corner for that.
Yeah, and the place erupted. I remember just
Cabral scored with his first touch in that game.
It was unbelievable.
Disappeared after
the scenes. There's probably the best I've seen Tolka in a long time. That when St Pat's, so we'd 1-0 down to win two. It was such a big game for us all because we had to win to keep Europe alive, and we did it somehow. But yeah, it was. I don't know. When I look back, I thought, I couldn't actually believe when I went back, because I remember people saying, oh, you've had this impact, but I felt like the whole team gelled really well in that season. A bit like last year when you're watching the team, like you could see like the involvement from the year before to last year, so hopefully you see this year. You can just see every year that the team's getting better and better.
Progress.
Yeah.
Where did the worm come from?
Scotty Paddy, obviously.
Sean Boyd, actually. Sean Boyd said to me before, I said to Sean, I'll do the worm, like his banter. And I remember sat on the bench against Dundalk before the warm up, and he was like, oh, you won't do the worm. So
like, have you done the worm before that? Like, were you good? Did you know you were good at it, or were you like.
I think I'd done it like a few family events just for banter, yeah, but.
How does Sean Boyd know that?
I don't know. I just said to him, oh, Sean, I might do the worm if I score. It was like there's a bit of banter laughing. And then obviously he's gone, oh yeah, you won't. So then I said it's the wrong person.
You decided to wind you up and you just gave into it straight away.
Yeah, just did it. And I did it, I thought it was quite smooth.
On that pitch?
Yeah, on that pitch.
End up with a couple of broken ribs trying to get that pitch.
I wouldn't know. I'd try, if it was grass, I'd probably belly slid, gone into it.
The scenes on that day were iconic. There's an unbelievable picture of you kind of celebrating and then like a fella crowd surfing.
Crowd surfing on the top. Yeah, I think Lukey sent me it when it happened.
It's like it's iconic. Like those moments when you go from probably playing scholar level and you're playing in front of a couple of dozen people in a park to obviously having that impact and being a player who's really involved. How different was that? Because obviously you would have had big moments when you made your whole debut, playing in big grounds, big occasions. But to do it in a part where, you know, there really is a breakthrough here and it's something that you're very involved in.
Yeah, obviously it's a different feeling. I've never probably experienced anything like that up to that point. Obviously Cork away before that, it was unbelievable because it was probably my first senior goal, I think it was. Yeah, first senior goal. But then to do it the week after, in a big game where we needed to get something, and the fans were just, yeah, it's a feeling that I'll probably never forget, because I remember doing the worm and then Lukey running over and just laughing.
Sure, Lukey was still playing, wasn't he?
Yeah, he ran over on the bench and started pointing at me, and I don't know, it was good. It was overwhelming, the world is.
You come across as quite a laid-back character, Harry. Do you worry about that? Like, do you worry about other people looking on? Because I know me and Ben were talking on the way in about that UCD game, and I don't mind saying we were. Tell him, Ben, how it went.
You just come in, it was your first game, and look, there was a lot of noise around, as you said yourself, people were talking about feeder clubs and you being sent over, and you were just here to tick a box, and look, there was a lot of apprehension there, people were unsure, and I remember you come out to warm up, and I was standing beside you, and I'm like, that lad's not even moving, because you just walked down the touchline, you kicked your legs a little bit, and then you just stopped. And I was like, oh my God, he's going to come on and do absolutely nothing. And I think I was just stood there, I was like, he doesn't want to be here.
I always wanted to be here. It was one of them things, obviously. Well, I got put in a position by the club to come, but I wouldn't say I didn't want to be here. Like, I always wanted to come. Like, I wouldn't have gone anywhere if I didn't want to be here. I wouldn't have lived away from home in Ireland if I didn't want to be here. Because obviously the gaffer was here, the staff was here. Like, you know, players who've come from the League of Ireland. I got all that information before I come over. So like, the biggest one for me was when I come over was obviously to work under the gaffer and his staff. Because you look at the level he was at and played at, and the things he won in his career. Especially Joey played in the Prem for West Ham. Davey played in the Champ. Skins had a good career in the League of Ireland. Obviously, it's one of the things to get that training with that level of coaching, it's only going to make you a better player.
But it's one of those, I think, where you prove people wrong very quickly. As the Bowls game comes next, and you're in, you're lively, you're around, you're making an impact, and you're like, hold on, there's glimpses there of this fella has something about him. So was it good to kind of get that little bit of recognition so early on?
Yeah, obviously it's good that I remember when we scored at Cork and the fans were singing my name. I've still got the video on my phone. So early on, like, I think I'd only been here, was it 2 weeks? I just remember knowing that I can go on to give me a bit of confidence going into the next game, knowing that I've got belief in from the fans and also the gaffer now. I've got belief in from the players. I can show what I can do. So, yeah, it gives you a lot of confidence going into other games.
You talked about the manager and his impact on you and how obviously he was very different from what you've had before. How does it feel to have someone that's there for you, not just as a player, but actually wants to see you grow as a person? Is that massive for you?
Yeah, I think people don't see it. People just see what they see. Like, people on the outside see what it's like on interviews and stuff and during the game, but he's such like a caring person off the pitch as well. He's someone who you can go speak to. You can go knock on his door with any problem and he'd be sat listening to you for hours and hours. He's not just there for football. He obviously, like you said, he cares about you progressing as a person and not just football, which I think's a massive plus for a manager. Because obviously the players respect him more, and also I know that every player would run for a brick wall for the gaffer and his staff here, which I think shows, especially on a Friday night, how much we would run for the gaffer. And I know for it that he'd do anything for us. So,
you talk about your parents as well and them being a big impact on your football career. When you do come here and you turn around to your parents and you're like, I'm going to play under Damien Duff, how does that conversation go?
It's fair. I was in the living room when he rang me and I had him on loudspeaker. My mum and dad was there. And I remember my dad just saying, like, it's an opportunity to go obviously play under a manager and an assistant and his staff that have played at the highest level of English football, and also it's a chance for me to go and show in a new environment what I can do. And also mum and dad said it'll do me a lot of good in the long run, living away from home and stuff. It'll make you more mature and more responsible.
Do you think you're more mature and responsible now?
I do actually, yeah. I honestly think, especially this year, since last year when I come, I feel like I've, like my mindset's changed towards everything, like the way I live my life, my recovery, just everything, the way I look, like, just look at football in general. I think my mindset's completely changed. I don't know. I think it's one of them. I think I've changed a lot over the past 8 months that I think will change for the good.
That end to the season, you know, UCD and then Drogheda. Talk us through kind of your recollections or your memories of it, because they're probably two of the maddest games I think Shells fans will recall. And it's hard to believe with everything that's come over the last 12 months. Like, they don't even, probably wouldn't even hit the top five maddest now.
I know, yeah. Well, UCD was mental. Was he 2-1 down?
Yeah.
Oh.
Conor Kearns was sick.
Yeah, I remember that Fiske kicked the ball, didn't he? And yeah, it was. She wasn't a good game. I remember thinking, oh, we can't. Surely, you know, we've done all this work. And I remember looking at Java and I'm just, oh, no. And then Moylan came up with a worldy hat-trick. And then I went to Drogheda and we did the same thing, 2-0 down.
But we were actually really good against Drogheda. Like, we were 2-0 down at half-time, but you had a chance, Jarvis had a chance, I think Farrellar had a chance. We could have been.
Looking at each other at half-time going, how is this after happening?
I just remember Darren Turner would be like, we are grand here. And everyone, like, people in the stands, people around us losing their minds. And Darren was like, we're fine. We are battering these. They scored 2 sucker punch goals. We're going to be fine.
They scored 2 worldies as well. Was it Foley who hit?
Yeah.
Outrageous.
A few of the players we spoke to after that game, Shell's players said, no, it was like so calm. There was no panic. Is that true? Or was that, were they just saying at the time to kind of take the pressure off it? Because in my head, that would have been the time, half time. It's all on the line. That would have been the time for roaring and shouting and, you know, throwing teacups across the dressing room. Take us into that half time in Drogheda.
I just remember going in and we was all sat a bit like you were, like, how are we 2-0 down? Because we knew we battered them, we had chances. We knew that eventually we would get chances if we just carried on doing what we're doing. But I feel like the gaffer installs on every game that, like, I remember this, pretty similar to Derry last first home game when the lights go out. Like, we was all just sat in the change rooms, like, there was no panic. Like, we knew, we always knew the lights were going to come back on. The gaffer said to us, like, mind's on the game. Chill out, calm. We'd go out, warm up, and we'd at it from minute one. It was a bit like the one at Drogheda. It was the same thing. Just keep doing what you're doing. If you just keep doing what you're doing against these, you've created 3. They're going to tire towards the end, and you will eventually score. And once one goes in, I find multiple going.
That end of the season, you finish it. You're waiting on Pats to hopefully win the cup. Mad position to be in, wishing Pats well. But there's also the off the field stuff where, you know, there's issues there. It looks like there might be a change of ownership. You probably don't know where you're going to be the next year. The manager doesn't even know if he'll be there the next year. What are the days and weeks like after that Drogheda game?
I remember obviously we had that night out, didn't we, in Bray with all the lads, which was good. Obviously, I didn't know that the ownership and stuff that was going on at that point. I just know when I went home, I was back training. Obviously, with Hull. Until December, January time, January 11th, couldn't play a game. So obviously I was not eligible. So it was tough because obviously I'd gone from being at a high of getting Europe and watching that game at the cup final at home, knowing we've got Europe, to then me being like, oh, I can't play a game and I'm going to go on loan to a club where I'm not going to be match fit at all. Won't play the game in however long. So it was a bit of an up and down. Of emotions, really.
Were you keen to come back? Was there a sense of unfinished business?
Yeah, I was. From probably December in 2023, the gaffer was ringing me and trying to get me back, but I don't know. I can't really explain. Like, obviously, I wanted to try League 2 again in England just to see what it was like. It was nothing towards Shelburne or nothing towards the gaffer and stuff. It was just one of them things, and obviously, everything worked out for a reason. The gaffer was always texting me and stuff and texting me if I was playing bad, which was near enough every week, apparently.
apparently. Yeah. So did he think you were shit and you think you were good? Or
he just said I just didn't look match fit, which is fair enough.
So he was watching Grimsby Town games over his weekend.
Probably clips. I think he was watching Y Scout clips. But he was telling me the honest truth, which is, you don't get from managers either, which the gaffers, whatever he says is the total truth, which you can hugely appreciate because you don't get it often. But yeah, he was speaking to me. And then when I got the chance to come back with Lukey, ringing me back saying we want to get Harry to come back, and I was all for it. I wanted to come.
How did you find Europe?
Move that mic just a little bit closer to
you. Oh, Europe. Europe was an unbelievable experience. Zurich. I remember going there and training and on the pitch before and be like, Jesus, this is a proper stadium. And then we obviously got out for the warm-up and the fans are tunnelling in from Zurich, like a proper European atmosphere. And I'm thinking, this is surreal. And then you obviously lining up in the tunnel and I'm just looking. I'm like, these guys are giants. That's the first thing. I still say to this day to the lads, I'm like, I've never played against a bigger team in all my life. I remember looking at Katic in the centre half and I'm like this. I'm like, this guy is a monster.
Yeah.
I remember going out on the pitch and obviously it didn't start well and stuff, but the experience that we got there was top. And at home, it was quite a tight game.
We should have won the home game.
Yeah, it showed that we could have beat them. It's just, I think, we had a lot of players, including myself, that had never played in like a European run before, so quite inexperienced at that level. So I think next year, or this year, so I'll say, will be different.
People don't realise how big those lads were. I was, Ben, you were in the tunnel as well. We were getting like walkout shots, and you could actually tell the moment you stood alongside them, there was this realisation of, geez, they're like specimens, like they are. Mm.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I just looked at one and was like, oh, shit, he's big.
Yeah. Well, like, you don't face anything. There's nothing like that in the League of Ireland.
No, and not a team of them anyway. Yeah. Like,
I do think you've got to get a bit of luck when it comes to the European run, because I think Zurich was, especially away, they was a joke. I remember playing and thinking, these are the best team I've played in my career.
Everything just happened so, like, everything was so quick. They were powerful. Like, everything that looked like it should take longer, they do in 1 second. Like, they take their touch to be gone, and like you couldn't get near them.
I remember the left winger was 19, and I was looking. I'm like, this guy looks like he's played 300 games. Like I remember looking after him. I'm like, this kid's 19, and he'd be playing against Tyreek. I remember watching him thinking the midfielder that I was trying to mark, he was just Cruyff turning, and I'm like, I can't get the ball off this guy. And I'm chasing around in this big stadium on this massive pitch. Probably want the fittest either. So I'm like, obviously loved it at the time, but then I'm like, oh God, he's not going to give us a minute.
How much did you come on as a player from the experience of Joseph's in Gibraltar? Because you came on in that game as well, didn't you?
Yeah.
And obviously he's Zurich home and away.
I think all the lads learned quite a lot. I think we just had to manage games in Europe. I feel like we knew that. Well, we'd spoke before because obviously the gaffer's played in top European competitions like Fulham and stuff, so he knows how to play in them like games and stuff. So we knew that. We always said we had to go over there and get a result to give ourselves the best chance, and we didn't play the greatest away at Zurich, so we didn't give ourselves the biggest chance. But against St Joseph's, I felt like we did play well. I think away, we did decent. At home, we got off to a flyer with Matt Coyles. 30-yard.
Outrageous
goal, yeah.
12 seconds.
Yeah. And then away, we just knew we had to get a result and dig in. But I feel like this year will be different because we've played in that environment, so it won't be like, what's the phrase? A deer in headlights sort of
startled deer.
Yeah, startled. Like when we go into that situation, we'll be more calm and controlled.
I don't think the Joseph's game helped that going to Zurich, though. That whole, all of a sudden, it was like this massive occasion. Because going to Joseph's felt a bit like going to like a local tournament. Just the way, I know it's probably different for the players, but like the way we were treated and stuff, it didn't feel like a European game. Remember I kept saying, this feels like a pre-season trip.
They were so unprofessional, though, yeah, the way that they approached it.
I'm sure as a player it was a bit different, but
yeah, it was just, the AstroTurf weren't great. You go from Astro and like one stand to then being in this massive stadium against this humongous team and support. And
their fans are in straight away. Like, as soon as their gates open, all of their ultras come in, they get their flags out. They're all dressed in the same colours. Like, you're out in your warm-up and you see that. That must be like, oh my God, this is European football.
You remember Tolka? Do you remember Tolka?
The Zurich fans in Tolka?
Oh, God.
One of them standing on the
electric box,
the steward and the rest of them, like herding animals.
They marched from town, up O'Connell Street, in like a group of 700 or something.
I got a phone call off my mum, and she was like, there's about 800 Swiss people marching past the house. And I was like, brilliant, take a photo, let me see.
The manager said before, I think he said after we played in Derry in the quarterfinal, we lost 2-0, he said he doesn't think that like the hotel life suits the group, like it doesn't agree with players. How you're probably used to it from all the travelling you would have done with Hull over the years or United over the years. Is it harder for League of Ireland teams who are used to the match day routine to do that kind of travel and the hotel living?
Yeah, I think there's part of that, yeah, because obviously they're not used to it, but I think last year was a case of, oh, well, we've won at these places, travelling up on the day. A bit like a superstition, so why are we going to change that? I remember Derry away quarter-final, we stayed over, didn't we? But before that, they'd got a good result against Derry, but travelled up. So one day when we got beat there, we got the option on the final day to stay up or travel up, and it was like, we got beat when we stayed up, so we'll just travel up. And I think it just works. For me, I'm used to it, obviously, because and people coming over from overseas are used to it, because that's what they do normally. I don't mind staying over and just chilling out and doing my thing, recovering and eating food. But if you can travel down on the day, it's always better, I always think. You don't have to, don't interrupt everything, like travelling down and then having to sit around for hours and hours. It's not good.
Get bored really easy.
Yeah, yeah. Start messing around, like playing pranks.
Cam Ledridge's shoes.
Yeah.
I know a few of the players had said about, like, again, I think this is, like, Gibraltar is not a very, I don't know, don't want to offend anyone, but
it's a shithole.
Yeah, it is.
It's boring.
But then Zurich, I know, was really isolated kind of compared to Gibraltar. Like, when you walked out the door of the hotel in Gibraltar, there was stuff all around you, whereas Zurich...
Was it you, was Harry, that said it was... The place in Zurich was like a Call of Duty map.
Was it? It might have been me or Caffrey. It was like, no, it was, wasn't it? It was like, it's like playing at bloody Modern Warfare 2,
yeah.
Walking out, and he's done like, it was middle of nowhere. Yeah. But then when you went to Gibraltar, it was like another, like a Call of Duty Black Ops map. Like, you just, everything's just around you. Like, you're just shopping malls and coming out, and there's just streets, and it was mental.
There was only one person I remember in Gibraltar that just seemed to be loving it, and it was Luke Byrne. Luke just kept saying, I love this. I love being in the hotel and being in my room and having to like think about the game constantly. Everyone else, I think, was a bit like, oh, come on.
He spent out on a Lime scooter, or what are they called? Is that what they're called?
Lime, yeah.
Yeah, I just remember seeing him flying past on a scooter at one stage.
I wanted to go up the mountain, me. See the monkeys.
No, they'll attack you, yeah.
They attack you for like your water bottle.
Yeah, they rob ice cream.
That'd be so funny though. Imagine taking Cam up. Oh, Cam, come here. Look at this little monkey, come here. Just text his phone, you know, you're fucking. It's one of them ones, mate. I'd love to have took Cam up.
Cam boxing the head off some monkey.
Cam, let's go for a walk, right? We'll just go for a little stroll, stretch legs. Just take him up and get him attacked by a bunch of monkeys.
Just leave him up there. I'm going back to the hotel, bye.
Yeah.
It's not like, it's no laugh matter. I think they seriously injured someone in the summer.
Now, obviously, we wouldn't do that.
Before they went, a story came out. One of them was after attacking a kid or something.
Yeah, for his water bottle or something.
Over 99, over an ice cream.
He was standing on like the tails and stuff, and they just run after him.
I fancy Cam's chances against four or five monkeys.
Oh, I reckon that would be hilarious. I'd pay to watch.
Speaking of traveling, Harry, will we see a return of the Harry Will Travel Vlog series?
Yep, whenever if you guys want it, I can do it.
Bring it back.
Bring it back.
Give the man a camera.
Give the man a camera and let him loose on an airport.
Yeah.
I have to ask you one question, and it's probably the one fans want to hear the most. Have you been asking Will to come back?
Yeah, I always speak to Will. I've spoken to Will a bit over the past 4 or 5 months. But there's only so much you can...
Bring him now, ask him to come back.
You can only persuade him to... So much, then it's up to him to make the decision, and obviously Shows Notts County.
Do you think we'll see him again in a Shell shirt?
Personally, I think you will, yeah. Personally. In the long run. Maybe not soon, but in the long run, I think it would be the best. If the gaffer's still here and his staff and nothing's changed, I think this is the best place for Jarvo to progress his career. Some
good old-fashioned Shelburne false hope.
Yeah.
Can't beat it, can you?
Now, Darren has complained about people asking to announce Jarvis every time he does a tweet, so now he's just brought it on himself that people will keep saying it.
Well, Harry Wood said Jarvis is coming back. So.
Derry away, that last game. You obviously, I think you'd been out of the team, hadn't you, for the kind of last little run-in. The morning you woke up before travelling up to Derry, did you honestly see yourself scoring that goal that would win the league?
No, I didn't. Not at all. I just think so. I was such a, I wouldn't say low, but I was sort of down at the time. I was like a bit annoyed with the way. So obviously when I come back, I'd left on such a high note, and I come back and I probably didn't live up to the expectations of what the fans and probably the staff had said and Gaffer thought I would, even though I knew I was capable of it. But I just knew when it was that day just to put everything aside and whatever we could do to win the game. However, if I come on for 10 minutes and just try my best to do it for everyone, not just myself but the whole team, because they deserved it.
Has Sean Gannon ever forgiven you for nipping in front of him to tap it in?
No, I don't know. I was never going to let Gano get there, to be honest. I was always getting there. I pushed him out of the way, saw that ball, and it was the first thing. Because I remember the dart, and honestly, the Derry fans were giving me so much abuse.
What were they saying?
Because obviously we was getting beat. Oh, no, we was drawing, weren't we?
And Rovers were scoring.
Yeah, Rovers had scored. And I was like, oh, so annoyed, because we're going to lose this on goal difference. So then their fans are like, hey, long trip back down to Dublin.
You're the warm-up in front of them, yeah. Aren't you? So it's probably not the best awful environment to be in.
So they're just like pelting abuse at you all the time. And I said to Ada, I'm going to come on, I want to score. He was like, I know you're going to score. This is honestly true. He went, I know you're going to score, you're going to score when you come on.
Aidan O'Brien said that?
Yeah, Ada said it. And I managed to score. I thought I'm just going to run straight over to him.
Did you not start to go the other way? And then you came back.
I did.
So at what point did you go, actually, no, hang on, these bastards are getting it instead?
It was weird, wasn't it? Because Ali
almost injured you.
Ali
yeah.
tried to do the edging and spare me. Ali turned into WWE. I'd scored goal and he thought, oh, that's it, Harry's getting it.
Cashing in money
yeah,
in the bank.
Money in the bank, yeah. Started pinning me down and getting 1, 2. And then I've got up and I've run back. I just thought, yeah, I can see him all there. All fans there. I just thought, yes, you're getting it.
Have you ever done the jersey off celebration before, or is that the first time?
First time, but the amount of people texts I was getting saying, oh, great goal, Harry, but keep the shirt on.
Actually, the manager said that in his post-match interview, yeah.
Off ex-coaches and stuff, they were like, oh, yeah, no one needs to see that.
Scored a league winner and still getting abuse.
Oh, terrible.
So, I've seen you say this in other interviews, but did you really not know what it meant to people winning that league?
No, I didn't know to the extent. I didn't know what it meant, but I didn't know to the extent of how much it would affect people or change people's lives. The amount of people that's come up to me, like, I remember being in the on a team now at the start of the season, and a guy saying, oh, I remember watching your goal, great goal. I was chuffed. And I just remember seeing like the amount of people that stopped me. I remember the day after. And I walk into the after the Friday, I was a bit hungover. walk into the shop with my girlfriend, and people were beeping the horns and shouting, taking pictures and that. And I was like, "This is mental." Did not expect it at all.
So, what did you do on the Friday? Obviously, because you decide not to stay up, which in hindsight is probably a great idea. You travel up on the day and back down. What happens after the full-time whistle? What's that hour, 2 hours, three, five, 6 hours like?
What, after we won the league?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I can't remember myself. I think I was drinking champagne on the pitch. To be honest with you, when we won the league, I was like, yes. And then saw the crates of beer and I was just downing different ones. I had like Bulmers, Corona. I was like, this is getting stupid here. But obviously, you just won the league, so it's you're gonna have a drink. But I remember waking up the next morning and I didn't drink on the Saturday. Completely ruined it myself. I didn't touch one drink.
On the Saturday at all?
Didn't touch one drink. I remember waking up and like ringing my mum and I'm like, Mum, I just feel like a zombie. Like I woke up and I've been drinking like with Ali Koo. I've got a picture on my phone. I'm like laid with my head in a pizza on the bus. Like I've been drinking like the 1 litre bottle of Bulmers, like nearly the massive ones.
So you didn't even make it back to Talca on the Friday?
Oh, I was absolutely like smashed.
You didn't make it off the bus?
No. I did, but I was radio off home and because Ray didn't drink.
I don't know about that.
No, he didn't. Ray didn't touch a drink from Friday and Saturday.
Did he not?
Nope.
That's unbelievable restraint. I would have thought you were the most nervous man in Derry and probably in all of the Shells fan base for that last 90 seconds because you missed.
Oh.
You missed. Like, you're lucky you scored, Harry, because had you... like, if they'd have equalised and you missed that chance, I don't know what would have happened.
What were you thinking?
I knew.
Just talking to that mic there, right? Just.
I think in the back of my mind, I always believed once I scored that goal that they wasn't scoring. I knew because I think I've seen a stat where if we were 1-0 up, I think that's what we're good at, seeing our results, like low results. So I always knew that when I scored, if we got the first one, I knew we'd win the league. But then when I've gone through on goal, I've seen him come out. And honestly, I wouldn't change anything.
What?
Because I'd still do the same thing, just execute it better because it was on. I've seen him come out of his goal. And I'm like,
would you not try to round him or something?
No, it was the right thing. I just completely and utterly towed it over the bar. When I look back, it just like summed up that 4 months. I just scored the winner at Derry and then I just go up and balloon one over the bar. And then I'm like, oh.
Sum up the season.
And for that time between missing the chance and the final whistle, did you really not think at any stage, oh my God, we better get over the line here? Or
nah, not really. Never did. People said it to me after, like, oh, if they'd have scored, we'd have killed you.
I don't think they're joking.
The gaffer'd have killed you, the gaffer and the staff. And I always knew, like, if we scored, we'd defend the league. So I think we're good at defending and stuff. So it's one of our strong points of our team. So I always knew, but it was just, at the time, I wish I had scored it because I think it'd have been unbelievable to run over to a second time.
Would the top have been off again?
No, yeah. Red card.
I'd have done the worm, I think, in front of the...
Imagine that.
In front of this thing.
Topless worm in front of the Derry.
Oh, it would have been...
After lobbing.
The game wouldn't have restarted. They would have just... What did Davy Mack say when he ran over to you and his...
Well, someone chucked a bottle, didn't they?
Yeah.
In my head. And missed me by a sec, like that much. But I remember this is mental. Like, they're kicking down the barricades and stuff to try and kill me.
Yeah, they wanted to murder you. You just scored. They were in the title race for most of the year. They were near it on the end, and then you just ruined it for them.
I know, well, it was giving us a lot of stick when we got beat in the quarterfinal. I remember coming off. It was like they'd won the league and won the cup then. And I remember the lads on the bench, like, this is motivation to come back up. And obviously you never want to take it to the last day. We had so many chances. But when we found out it was going to the last day against Derry, just used it as motivation to go up there and get it over the line.
What's that last day like? I think the managers talked about different people coming in and they had, you know, Ian McGeachan, he had Colin Hawkins, he had Jose Mourinho. What's that last message before you go out on the pitch?
The last one was pretty surreal when we had Jose. It was mental. It was something that you probably never think you're going to see Jose Mourinho talking, giving you a pre-match talk ever. But I remember just watching it and me and the lads coming out and going like, that's like top class. That is, it's motivation. It's like one of them. Do you know the way Jose speaks, like real slow, and you've probably seen it in interviews where he speaks and he's just motivating. It's, I remember him saying like, oh, I'll be watching, get out of the line. Talking about the gaffer when he was at Chelsea and stuff. But I thought it was quite uplifting.
And that was enough to...
Yeah, oh yeah. I thought the lads... Honestly, I think the lads deserved to win up to the point of the 70th minute. I thought they had the best chances. Like, Liam missed a good chance in their first half.
Ali should have had a penalty.
Ali should have had a penalty. It was a Stonewall penalty. But I think it was always coming. I think everyone believed in the team. It was always going to come. It was just... We didn't know when.
The manager said over the years he's done different things to try and, you know, motivate the players at times. Like, he brought a fan out of the Riverside to speak to you after a game. I think he said last week Paddy Barrett gave the pre-match team talk in Waterford. Have you ever got the nods to...
not yet, but I'd like to, but I think I'd just end up, like, screaming and just shouting, like, silly. I don't think I can, like, speak and, like, motivatingly speak. I could probably do in, like, a setting like this, but, like, in a... when everyone's huddled around, I think emotion would just get ahead of me. I'd just start shouting mad stuff.
Jose's so far has given your best guest talk.
Yeah, by far. By far.
Who'll give it this year for the league decider?
Oh, well, hopefully we get there. Hopefully we get there.
Can't go any bigger than Jose, I don't think. Yeah, that after that is downhill, surely.
Who else could who could we get?
Harry Wood. Now's your time. Just
screaming.
Get out there and pretend you're on Wii Boxing.
I think the Mike Bass, yeah, England manager, the captain, what's his name? Oh, he hits his head off the wall. That's his way of motivating people.
Harry, we'll get Neil. No, we'll get Neil Warnock. That'd be messed.
You gotta die to get 3 points.
Yeah. So right. Did you write that musket? Did you write for musket?
Talk into that microphone. No one can hear you. Say it again.
Serves you right for Muscat.
Right, I think we're almost there. Time's flying here. But the most important part's to come, Harry. You're setting the tone now for the season with this, right? With your teammates. So I'm going to ask you a few questions. Sorry, go on.
I have one listener question. By appointment only. Johnny Watson wants to know when he's getting your boots.
Oh, my boots.
You're still wearing them?
I do wear them, yeah. I wear them in training and stuff. The most comfortable boots I've ever worn. And I would give them to Johnny, but I feel like they are going to come in handy in certain situations. But like, as soon as I'm done with them, I've said to Johnny he can have them. But I don't know when that is.
Where did you put the famous jersey?
I'm getting that framed. I give it to my mum and dad. Then with my medal. They've got all me memorabilia and stuff. I need to get it all framed.
You don't get to keep any of it?
No, I got a frame. My girlfriend got me a frame... with the, I don't know if you've seen it actually, it's got like the description and the team sheet and the way the goal scored and that.
Is it the Metzalo?
Yeah.
I've one of them.
I've one of them too.
Yeah, my girlfriend got me one. So I put it in my room, but I haven't put it up yet. I'm being home.
It's my birthday in April, so I don't have one. Just throwing it out there.
Harry, I think he's hinting at you.
Harry,
to get
I think
him.
He wants you to get him something. I don't know what. I gave you a mug, didn't I?
Nope.
I did. I gave you a mug that has the shells. Oh, Champions League sticker.
Yeah. Oh, I don't have a mug.
I gave you a mug.
Well, was I?
He gave him a mug.
All of my health, and he gave me this mug.
He gave him a mug.
He gave him a mug.
He got a mug.
The mug?
Stop annoying me.
He gave me a mug.
Been mugged?
Where's the mug?
He gave me a mug.
He gave me a mug.
Harry, your teammates.
Biggest deep card.
You need to be honest, right?
Cam Luddage.
You can't answer yourself for any of this. You have to give it to somebody, all right?
I'm looking forward to this.
Who's the quickest?
Oh, quickest? Oh, this hurt. Cam Ledwich.
Who's the slowest?
Paddy Barrett.
Who's the most intelligent?
Lorcan Healy.
Can I ask the other one?
Which one?
Least intelligent.
That's a bit harsh.
Nah, you can.
The man scored the league winning goal. Yeah. Least intelligent.
Least intelligent.
Like, who would you not want on your quiz team?
That's probably a nicer way of saying it, Ben. Well done. Inclusive.
Teacher.
Dickie Kelly.
How do you know? He's just in the door. How do you know?
Just a funny guy.
He's just a chill guy.
Yeah. Sorry, Dickie.
Who's the most vain?
Oh, can I give two?
Yeah.
So clothing wise, I'd go Cameron Ledwich because he turns up to training like he's a fashion show. in like a new pair of trainers, the lot. But then I'd go most fit. Who's the other one?
You just asked to give two.
Yeah. I did, no, Camelot is one, but I don't think he's vain, like, doing your hair and stuff.
Who spent so long as doing their hair?
Do you know what? I might go... Connor Kearns always, after a shower, gets, like, prunes himself up with aftershave, like, clobber, brushing his hair, the lot. But it's Rascal. He wears Rascal clothing.
He wears what?
Rascal.
What's Rascal?
You never heard of?
Just absolute.
We'd say dodgy.
Yeah. Dodgy, oh yeah.
Just dodgy, yeah.
Yeah, so we've seen a few photos and stuff. Remember, somebody stitched somebody up on Instagram with, we thought it was a forfeit when we seen the thing originally, and it wasn't. It was just somebody's actual tracksuit.
Nah, I don't believe it.
Tell you what though, Connor's an unbelievable cook. Let's put that out there.
What does he cook? Chef. What's his?
Does his thing, and I don't know if I said I'd give him the shout out in this, but I will do. He does this thing on Instagram where the lads give him like a food option and he'll cook it. But some of the food options that he puts on his Instagram with his close friends, oh, they look lovely.
And does he doesn't share it, he just cooks it and you can see a picture of it.
Yeah, he puts a picture on like, thank you, Ali Coot, for beef enchiladas. That was the last night.
So you never get, he could just be Googling pictures of nice.
No, he sends a picture on his plate with like the food and stuff.
Okay.
It's lovely.
Connor Kearns, the chef. Didn't see that one coming.
Yeah.
Good with his hands. He's a goalkeeper.
Who is the manager's
boy, Darren?
Who's the manager's pet?
Sean Boyd.
Oh, that's a new one. That's a new one.
Haven't had that one yet, have we?
No, that's definitely a new one. Who's the angriest? Probably straightforward.
Probably Sean Boyd.
I could have sworn Cam was coming
there. Sean Boyd in certain circumstances, but Cam Ledwidge is just a nibbler, like just angry. But I don't just get used to him now.
What are the circumstances that Boyd is getting angry then?
Just if you just do like a bad pass, he'll cane you. Or just you can just tell when he's not that happy.
Who's the funniest?
Evan Caffrey.
Who's the best trainer?
Best trainer. Oh God. Best trainer. There's a few. I'm going to go recent. Kerr. I like the way Kerr, McInroy trains. He's tidy on the ball.
He's been good.
Yeah, just good standards.
Settled in really well.
Yes. Mm. Who's the worst trainer?
Oh, he's going to...
Oh, God. You put me on the spot here.
He's definitely just going to wind someone up.
Any minute now, Harry.
Paddy Barrett.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
You were very, 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 very hesitant to say that. So are you afraid of Paddy Barrett?
No. It's had such a tough question. Yeah, I'll go with Paddy.
Why Paddy?
I don't know. I'm not saying he's bad, but I just mean he's more relaxed. So more of a chilled out guy.
The slowest and the worst trainer.
Because
he's just a chilled out guy.
Just a chill guy.
Well, if Paddy Barrett gets back on his podcast, I think he's going to bury Harry.
Yeah, I don't mind.
Would you beat Damien Duff in a game of tech ball?
Yes.
Would you beat Joey O'Brien?
Yes.
Davey Mack?
Yep. I bat myself.
Brave.
Skins?
Brave man.
Yep.
Merrow?
Yep.
Luke?
That's what.
Yep.
Rory?
Yep.
Doc?
Yep.
Is there anyone you would lose?
If he's saying he's going to beat Damien Duff, it's probably fair to say he thinks he's going to beat everyone else.
Hold on.
I do believe I'm good at tech ball.
So is there anyone better?
I haven't played anyone else. I'm not sure. I reckon JJ would be good at JJ. Got a good touch, hasn't he?
Who do you not want to be stuck beside on the bus to Cork?
Sam Byrne.
Any particular reason?
Probably talking about his pod.
You could be in his blog. Vlog.
Yeah. I like some of his content.
Some of his content.
I have him off. I probably Cam.
Hey, you're always in Mellow.
I'm always in Mellow, yeah. I love Mellow. Good place.
Who was the best dressed?
Best dressed. Do you know what? I'm going to give it... I've got Ali Q or Ray. Ray Talk.
Who was the worst dressed?
Did you not already do this?
Nah.
Worst dressed? No.
I thought... I'm just going to judge this off Cam Ledwidge's Saturday outfit that he wore for the league winning. All blue. I'm on a big fan. But that's who, just...
Who has the worst haircut?
That's cruel.
What's the point?
Worst haircut? Jeez. Oh, are you going hairline or haircut?
Oh, well, you give me hairline if you want.
Oh, that's... that's a grenade.
I'll go. Oh God, worst haircut. I think off what I've seen, I'm not Sean Boyd's.
Ah, Harry, you can't. Like, you should be giving it to yourself. Why? Came back with a mullet, man.
I can't give it to myself though, can I?
No, he's not allowed to give it to himself.
If you could give it to yourself, would you?
No, I didn't mind the mullet.
The mustache.
You look like a scuba instructor. Or do you know that fella at like the top of a water slide when you're on holiday in Spain?
Yeah, and you're like, yes, come on. Go. Yeah.
That's.
You can't go down with any jewellery.
Yeah. I'd give it to myself. I wouldn't for the mullet, but. I think my hair's nice now. Long.
You going to keep it long?
Yeah.
Who loves the gym the most?
Matt Coyle.
Who's the crybaby?
Oh, God. Gano or John O'Sullivan?
Who was the manager in the making?
Manager in the making. Matt Coyle.
And last but not least, there's a Shelburne Football Club boxing tournament. Who wins it? Players and staff.
And staff.
Yeah, that's... players and staff.
I think it would be between Paddy, Davey, and Paddy, Davey and John Martin.
Davey Mack?
Yeah. I reckon Davey's got a bit.
Gee, I didn't see that coming.
Well, it's in the chant.
True, yeah.
I reckon Davey's got a bit. And I think Davey probably just takes it over age and experience, probably.
Over age, that's another grenade.
Yeah, you want to be careful. Come here. You mentioned it earlier, you were joking, talking about the WWE.
Hmm.
If you were a WWE wrestler, what would your finishing move be and what would your entrance song be?
Entrance song would be Kasabian Fire.
Back that.
Yeah.
And what would my finishing move be? Do you have to create one or can I just pick one?
You can pick an existing one, but put your own name on it.
Or you can create one and do it to Dazzler there while we're here.
Yeah, I'll get a video on it and we can...
Super viral.
Probably Jeff Hardy. just hands behind the back, just bang straight on you.
Swanton Bomb?
Yeah, Swanton Bomb.
Good choice.
That's a good choice.
Yeah.
Ben, any other raw questions you want to ask?
Harry, there's a photo I've come across in my research of you at Manchester United. Do you want to explain the Barnet to the people at home? I think Doody is able to put a picture in. Doody, you can do that, can't you?
Yeah.
So I'm getting you back for all those times where you make a mistake in a video and you say, oh, Ben can edit that out. Ooh. Do you want to explain that one to us?
Yeah. Was it MK Dons?
Yeah. Luxurious places you said to travel to, you forgot that one time you went to MK Dons to play.
The Barnet is so long on that, isn't it? I like Rapunzel.
Ah, here.
It's a good set of hair, though, isn't it? Let's be serious. It's a good set of hair. Darren, it's a good set of hair.
Believe me, that was like...
Some good locks there, isn't it, Darren?
Trying to be professional.
You look like a housewife.
digging on Harry here.
Give me a washing. What do you think housewives do?
That's what a housewife is.
I thought he said anything from the trolley there, like Harry Potter. Anything from the trolley.
Give me
anything
your
from the trolley, Potter.
It took a strange turn anyway.
It did take a strange turn. I'm glad you didn't turn out to be a dud.
Oh my God.
Not in a good way.
That was, I still...
My hair's getting long now, to be honest.
It is, yeah.
You'll be back to the housewife in a few. We look like one of the Golden Girls.
God.
Thank you for being a friend.
Anything from the trolley?
Anything right, from the
trolley?
I think,
no, that's the end of it.
Yeah, I think we passed it now. Harry, thank you very much for giving up your time. We really appreciate it.
No worries. Thank you very much. I appreciate it as well.
And we will see you on Friday.
I'll see you all then.
Good luck.
Up the Reds.
The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grüns.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.